Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Do not worry, he will be back on Monday. You don't have to deal with me anymore, Kelly Bidlin. I know everyone will be happy to see me out of the seat. I know everyone will be happy to see me out of the seat. Gil will be back in here, but appreciate you guys letting me in here over the last week. I'm interested to see if we have any competing picks here from Mike Somich yesterday and our next guest, the Bear Chris Felica, joining us to talk not only the Breeders' Cup, but some college football as well. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm sure we probably will have some competing thoughts, being that these races are super highly competitive, super even, with a bunch of really attractive-looking prices. So I have a feeling we're both going to land on some long shots that probably aren't the same in a lot of these races, which is fine.
Yes, no, absolutely.
We both can be right in a different race and both come out ahead if we have the right prices.
So we have two races that you're looking at that are happening today. So if people want to go in and start getting their Breeders' Cup betting on today, Kelly, you can do that. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And so this is just a 5-furlong race. What are we looking at here in this one?
Yeah, it's the first race today. I think it's at 2:30. I think it's like at 4 o'clock Eastern. I think is what it is. You have to go back and look, but it's the sixth race, and I really like the number two horse, Asterius, in here. I think she's going to be, or he's going to be right on the lead or right near to it. I don't understand, in looking at the form, why he is 9-2, and the three horse Big Mojo was 4-1. If you look a couple races back, Big Mojo did beat Asterius, but Big Mojo was 25-1 in the race. So kind of dismissed. And since that race, Asterius hasn't been beaten, won his two races. To get a little bit of a better price on Asterius today, and I think that was a little bit of a fluke. I don't know what to make of Ikoro Siege, the Japanese horse, who's a 7-2 favorite. I have a feeling that a lot of these Japanese horses are going to be a little bit overvalued in the line just because of what we saw from Forever Young in the Derby this year.
Chris, what kind of mindset do you have to change into when you're handicapping these sprints as compared to like your typical race that everyone is more accustomed to watching? Is there a big difference in the handicapping process?
There isn't a huge difference for me. The first thing I always like to do with the race is try and figure out whether it's a 5-furlong sprint, 6-furlong, a mile, classic distance turf dirt, is to figure out the pace of the race. Do I think the pace is going to be moderate? Do I think the pace is going to be slow? Do I think it's going to be very, very fast up front to set up from someone off the pace? And then I try and decipher like the class level of a lot of these horses. And I think with how I see this race flowing out, I think Asterius is going to sit a really, really nice trip in here.
Let's head to the dirt here. Another race that's happening today, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. This will go a mile and a 16th. Who do you like here?
Yeah, this is a great juvenile. A lot of times in the Breeders' Cup, you get a lot of horses that maybe kind of peak at two, and you can't really foresee them moving on to have a really good three-year-old season. But this is a really good juvenile. The number one East Avenue is favored, but if you look at number one East Avenue and you look at number four Ferocious, the roles are kind of reversed today for these two horses. At that race at Keeneland, Ferocious was the horse in on the rail and had to deal with everything. East Avenue had the cushy outside spot. Ferocious was favored in that race. Now East Avenue is favored in this race. I just think the race here with East Avenue and the Baffert horse, I think there are a lot of horses that probably are going to be on the pace. And East Avenue is going to have to be special, I think, to win today. But I know some of the connections of Ferocious, and I know they are extremely confident. Ferocious won with one of the more impressive winners at the Saratoga meet as a juvenile this year, to be favored in all three races, kind of come up short in the race at Keeneland last out, and now have an opportunity to turn the tables. I think Ferocious can do it, and if there was one other horse I could play in here, It would be the number five horse, Jonathan's Way, who I think is a big time horse as well. But I think East Avenue at a short price, as good as he looks on paper, is very, very susceptible to being beat today.
Let's head to tomorrow. And again, all these are just massive purse races. This one, $2 million purse as we head a mile and 3/8, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf Race.
This is a race where I don't know if Cinderella's Dream wants to get this distance. She looks good on paper. Her trainer is fantastic. But I think there are a lot of opportunities in here to potentially get a price. I look at the number 12 horse, Soprano, who is less than 3-1 at Keeneland in her last race. And now she's 20-1 on the morning line. The winner last time out, Freak. Maybe Soprano isn't good enough, but at 20-1, I will absolutely use her in my exotics. The horse I really like is the 5 horse, Didia, who, again, this horse was a beaten favorite last time out at Del Mar, was 4-5, got beat by a horse that was double-digit odds. So Didia has kind of gotten her footing over this Del Mar turf course right now. And I think coming back here at 12-1 now, if you look at Didier's past performances, there's been a couple of times where she's been a little bit dismissed on the tote board. And she has run huge. I think her trainer has her spotted very well here with a nice outside-ish type post, but not too far out. Should get a couple of trips. I think Didia has a really, really big chance to win this race 12-1.
Talking to Chris Felica, helping us out here, not only handicapping some horse racing, but also we'll get to college football here in a bit. But the big one, this one's going to be on the big NBC, $7 million purse here. And this one, these are a bunch of horses, Chris, that I think that people may not realize they've heard of before. You got Forever Young in this field. You've got Derma Sotogade. You've got Fierceness. You have Tappet Trice, Sierra Leone. So these are some horses I think that people might not even realize that they're familiar with.
Right, yeah, because Forever Young, after the Kentucky Derby, went back over to Japan and prepped and trained over there before coming back here. I will say this. Before the Belmont Stakes, a very good friend of mine, a very, very good handicapper and contest player, said to me, I think it was on Wednesday, he goes, you need to go on the air on Fox this weekend. You need to pick Dornick. I love Dornick in the Belmont. And what didn't I do? I did not go on the air. Dornick, at least he's even as a price horse. And what did Dornick do? Dornick won the Belmont at a massive price. He sent me a note the other day saying, I love Newgate in the Classic on Saturday. So yeah, he has a pretty keen eye for picking these long shot horses. You get Bob Baffert with a horse that is kind of won the second race off of a layoff, ran really well in the first race off of a layoff, should probably improve. It's going to be a massive price. I will absolutely be using Newgate. I am against the favorite City of Troy here. I actually laid minus 250 or so on the field against City of Troy. I think they're kind of just taking a shot here. The City of Troy stud field fee is already established as a great turf horse. I think they're trying to get if he wins on dirt, his fee price goes through the roof. So I think they're taking a chance, kind of a no harm, no foul. If they run well, great. If they don't, so what? If they win, it's even better. But I think you need to look at the 11 horse Sierra Leone, this horse has been kind of beat up a little bit during the summer. Has always seemed to have trouble, but you get Flavian Pratt now on this horse at Del Mar. The horse's speed figures actually have been going up steadily throughout the summer. But I think the way this race plays out, there should be a good bit of speed in here with Arthur's Ride and Fierceness and some other horses. I think Sierra Leone has a great chance, and I would have loved Forever Young in this race, but I worry about the draw with the rail and having some kickback and maybe kind of getting stuck in between horses and not being able to get a clear run. I think Forever Young potentially could be the best horse in this race, even with the presence of City of Troy, but I just don't know if the trip is going to work out for him tomorrow. But I still will hesitantly use him, but I'm liking Sierra Leone for whatever reason more and more, along with my buddy's horse, Judy.
We'll have all of Chris's plays up over on VSiN.com as well to make sure. I know it's a lot to take in if you're driving in your car, yeah. But yes, this is great. We'll have all of that up over at VSiN.com. Let's get to the Fox New York y'all's game here, Ohio mm-hmm. State and Penn State, biggest game of the week. As we sit right now, Chris, looking at about a 3 and about a 46.5 on the total. What do you think about this one?
I laid the 3 with Ohio State. I think there's a little bit of an overreaction to what we saw last week in that close win against Nebraska. You think back, college football is such a cyclical, emotional week by week where you're not going to get the same performance from the same team twice. Look, think back to, I guess it was September when they played, when Georgia went to Lexington and nearly lost to Kentucky. And I think Kentucky's won one game since then. They were terrible that night. And when you see a couple weeks ago, Georgia goes to Texas and plays a fantastic game and blows out a team that was ranked number one in the country. So I do think the Ohio State offensive line is a little bit of a trouble, but I think we're going to see a little bit of a different scheme, a little bit of a different game plan from Ohio State tomorrow. I think you're probably going to see more than one target from Jeremiah Smith in the second half. And I think you're going to see a lot more Will Howard quarterback run to maybe elude the get out of that pocket and get him on the move to kind of mask some of those offensive line problems. And I think coinciding with that, the kind of the correlated play with Ohio State trying to eat up the clock a little bit will be a Penn State team total of under 20 and a half. I know Jurallar is likely going to play now, but I think Ohio State getting Langham Ransom back in the secondary, the targeting call, that bad targeting call was reversed. So they're going to be at full strength, I think, defensively. And I would expect them to be in the Penn State backfield, really limit the running game and force Jurallar to beat them. So I like Ohio State minus the 3, and I did play the under 20 and a half Penn State team total. I'm sure that's going to go over really well tomorrow on the area or Napa
Valley. Let me tell you, I love whenever we get the 9 a.m. games out here on the West Coast, man. Wake up, get the biggest game going, ready to rock and roll, ready to kick the day in the teeth.
Absolutely. Chris, what's the hotel chain this week in Happy Valley? How is it?
I'm not an expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
There we go. He is Chris Malika.
Actually, it's very new and quite comfortable. Huge room. So, I'm quite happy with the accommodations. It's definitely moving up the ranks of hotel chains on the road.
You do. You sound like you are in a big room right there.
I'm refreshed.
Yeah. I'm not a handicapped expert, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn.
Catch him on Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast, as well, at Chris Felica. Appreciate the time and good luck.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
When we come back, let's continue on talking some NFL here in week number 9.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
I bet you didn't think you were going to get all that horse racing love in your life this week, but here it is. You asked for it. Kelly Bidlin delivers, goes out, gets two experts in the field of horse race betting. I don't know if any of their picks crossed over. I don't know, whatever. But you know what I can say is you can go in now and you can at least have a pool and then do your own research.
That's right. I believe Somich, didn't he bring up East Avenue yesterday? That's the race today. I didn't have it written down as one of his official bets, though. But I thought he had mentioned him yesterday. Maybe watch back yesterday's show. But Felica and Somich might have been matching on that one, which is race 9 today. And yes, I wrote down, we'll go over it later when we do our G-Bank best bets, but I wrote down, well, it's important, the track, but this week it's just everything Del Mar, so you don't got to worry about that. But I got every race number for today. Tomorrow, we'll hit them all at the end of the show.
Look at that. And here's the thing. If you want to find out what Somich bet, we have a betting guide for that. Go on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Take advantage of our Sports Equinox special. We talked about that. Yes, we know it was on Monday. We've extended it until Sunday because we can do that. It's our special. We can extend if we want to. $120 for everything we do from now to May the 1st, including this Breeders' Cup betting guide, which, again, that starts today. So you might want to go in and take advantage of this offer now.
Yes.
Because the races do start a little bit later today. So it should be fun. And like we said, there's some horses in there. Kelly didn't think he was going to know any of these horses. I read off the names. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember losing money on that horse.
Three or four of those. Yeah. And at least half of them I lost money on. Yeah, for sure.
I remember losing money on that horse. So there we go. All right, back into the NFL. And the Patriots and Titans game is a game in which, you know, does it matter who plays quarterback for the Titans? I mean, I guess it does. Does it to you? I mean,
I did see
Mason Rudolph and Will Levis to me mean nothing. They might as well be the same human.
There's higher variance, I think, when Levis is involved.
On the bad end.
Yeah, I want to say on the good end too, but I guess he hasn't really exactly proven that yet in his NFL career.
There's a much lower floor with Levis, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I was going to say higher ceiling too, but I don't know that he's actually proven that yet, so I don't know that I can say that. But yes, there is definitely a lower floor with Levis.
So this is 3.5 in favor of the Titans at home over the Patriots, 38, 38.5. I mean, this... Oh boy. It doesn't look like we're going to get Drake May. We haven't seen.
So that's what I was checking on. May will be a limited, will be limited in practice today.
Yeah. But so there's steps to these concussion protocols. Unless we know what steps these dudes are in, we don't really know. Yeah,
what is
the
it, five steps or something? Yeah, they got to work like, their way through a practice week.
Yeah. And so it's just like, you know, we don't really know. So, okay. How about this then? Since we don't know who's playing quarterback for the Titans or the Patriots, does it change your view on this game as we sit at 3.5? If it were Jacoby Brissett versus Mason Rudolph, or if it was Jacoby Brissett versus Will Levis, or if it was, you know, decide.
Okay, no, it actually does. Because if there is, if I knew I was getting Brissett Rudolph, which is probably the most likely of what I'm getting this week, it under intrigues me a lot more. If it was May and Levis, I think an over is far more interesting in this game.
That is exactly what I was thinking, though I don't think we're going to get that scenario.
I don't think we're getting that scenario.
Because the 38, and the reason...
I think that's why the total is 38.
Yeah, and the reason you're saying that, and people are going like, wait, you guys hate these teams. Well, true. But there is a lot of turnover stuff going on with Will Levis. There's at least a decent amount of turn. Look, I think Drake May is going to be good, actually. I like what he's doing, but he's also a gunslinger right now.
Yeah, he's a gunslinger.
And that can turn into turnovers as well. For what it's worth, the Titans defense is not a complete pushover.
Nope.
The Patriots is probably a complete pushover, though, with all the stuff that's going on. I mean, their injury report, the reason I'm not even like reading off any of the stuff of that, like, this is. Drew Mayo just took over right where Bill Belichick left off and like puts like 17 people on his injury report every week, you know, whether the guys are actually questionable. Whether they're actually questionable or not. And so there's no way to try to decipher what's going on with all of that. But they do have some injuries on the defensive side of the ball, which leads me to believe that no matter who's playing quarterback, while Levis might throw it to the other team twice, I think he can probably get in the end zone twice as well, two or three times. And so the over would be the only way to play, but of course I would need the right quarterback combo to make that happen.
I guess one of them could, it would interest me, but this is Matt, too many games on in the early window. I will happily not be watching this one.
Yeah. You don't,
or very little of it, I should say.
Yeah. That's this one's just not one that,
whatever ends up on the red zone screen, which I don't think there's going to be many red zone opportunities.
The deal. If you don't bet the Titans and they win by 10, you're going to be like, dude, why not bet the Titans? Of course, you know, I mean, they're way better than the Patriots. And then, or if you do bet the Titans and then they lose outright, you're going, what in the hell was I doing betting the Titans?
Yes.
You know, so if you have that feeling going on, you probably just leave it alone. Commanders and the Giants. This one is super interesting because this one has, we've seen some real movement here on this as well. People are starting to come in. People are starting to like this Commander squad. We're out to 4 now. Kelly,
saw 4.5 last night.
Yeah. In favor of this Commanders team. So all those 3.5s, people, money continue to come in on Washington. 44.5 is our total. I played the over in this. I played the over 44. And if you go in and look, this is a really good Washington offense that has been really efficient over the course of the season, but the defense has been equally as disappointing. And then you look on the Giants side of things, we know that their defense isn't any good. And I actually think that there is some success to be had against the Commanders with this Giants team, fully healthy. I mean, you got to remember there was a couple of games with Daniel Jones was without Malik Nabers. So yes, the overall stats don't look good. I don't think it's good. I think this offense though, if you look at what they probably can do against bad defenses, I think they can be a league average offense against bad defenses.
Yeah,
and with that,
me too.
And with that, you know, would it shock you at all if Washington played into the 30s in this game? Like, I don't think that would be shocking. And now we're asking for 17 points, 14 points out of the Giants in order to get this thing over. And so I like that. And then I also like, I also like Malik Nabers on his over 68.5 receiving yards. He is going to get, I mean, with Daniel Jones' job basically under fire right now and everything that's going on with what may or may not be happening with Dable. I know they say he's safe. I know they say that. I don't know for sure either. It would not surprise me to see Nabers get 14, 15 targets in this game.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, this is whether you want to call it development or lack of other options, like Daniel Jones is going to keep forcing the ball to him. Like you said, even for Jones, kind of it makes sense to try to save his job too. This is what I've been interested in, the movement. I'll be honest though, this Washington team, I'm not really interested in betting them this big of a favorite on the road with a rookie quarterback. But having said that, Matt, like, I don't know. You could keep moving this number. I don't know how high I would have to get up to before I'd actually be interested in the Giants side. I think an interesting look from you on the total. I'd agree with you. Over is probably the only way I would look. I just, This defense has been terrible outside of the couple guys they have on the on the interior.
And
of the
DJ's going to give us a couple turnovers. Daniel Jones is going to at least one, if not two. So we're going to have a short field to work with Washington as well. So
if anything, I would go instead of the side and laying this many points, just look Washington team total over is probably how I'd play it if you were interested in Washington. But yeah, nothing for me on this one.
The Saints and the Panthers, this is sitting at a touchdown in favor of the Saints. 43.5 is our total here in this one. Saints on the road as touchdown favorites, as currently constructed, seems odd to me, off to me. I know Derek Carr is going to be back for the Saints. I get that. I just look at this defense that has a ton of injuries. I look on the offensive side and say, hey, Derek Carr had to sit out because of an oblique injury. Seems like that's a pretty important injury for a quarterback. I don't know, man. I can't get there. I'm certainly never taking the points with the Panthers either.
You can't right now.
Bryce Young, by the way, will start for this Panthers team, but I'm not laying it with the Saints. This is seems like a contest play for me in which I play the Panthers and so I don't have to actually bet my own money on it, you know, but it's just kind of, I go, I'm taking the stand in a contest as opposed to the money, which there's no way the Saints should be a touchdown favorite on the road against anyone. But at the same time, I'm not willing to go.
Yeah. The problem is we've gotten to the point with these Panthers games that that's basically the analysis every week for me where I'm I cannot bet my money on this Panthers team yet. I don't know that I can justify what this line is at right now.
Yeah.
The Saints, I just got to see it first again. I got to see this team looking good before I get confident betting them again. Last week, I tried to go with them against the Chargers. Obviously, the quarterback situation was very different. That didn't end well. I think, though, if you were interested in betting the Saints this week, I'd be adding alts. If they happen to look good and they cover a touchdown, they could win by two or three scores. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, it's looks like Jonathan Brooks is going to be back for the Panthers this week. He was a super highly touted running back. And the reason he didn't go any higher than he did was because he got injured. So he's been recovering from an injury since the beginning of the season, but
hasn't played yet, right?
No, hasn't played. Yeah, so this would be making his season debut for this Panthers team. New Orleans, for what it's worth, their rush defense EPA allowed is 30th overall in the NFL. Their rush defense success rate allowed is 27th overall in the NFL. And according to DVOA, their rush defense is 32nd out of 32. Wouldn't surprise me to see a healthy dose here of Chuba Hubbard and Brooks and in this one trying to just go and attack what is the worst part of this Saints defense. And so, I don't know, man. It seems this could be an ugly cover for the Panthers.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it at that.
Also sounds like you might be talking yourself into an underplay, too.
Could be something that could end up in the account before it's all said and done. Broncos and Ravens, Jags and Eagles, Bears and Cardinals when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here, talking NFL games on a number game here on VSiN. Kelly, we buried the lead, though. You did not give your review of the the Ghost Reese's. We can't call it white chocolate because apparently we'll get sued if we do that. But they said it is a white coating on it or something.
Enrobed in white cream.
There it is, yes.
That's what it was, yes. White,
and those review. Okay, let's give the verbal review and then give a number on a 1 to 10 of where it falls.
Well, I would not make my top 5 Halloween candy power rankings. Okay. Or the one thing that's really stayed with me since yesterday is what you said. It's just candy power rankings. You don't need to include the word Halloween.
I mean, Roberto Moreno, who works here, gave us the what about candy corn, which that's about as close to a Halloween candy as there actually is, because it is when it really kind of reeks its ugly head out. But
it's a seasonal delight too. It's kind of like a Christmas cookie.
But
right?
I was gonna say, but it hangs around
Christmas
cookies
are not the best cookies. They're not the best cookies, but you have them around Christmas, right?
And candy corn hangs around through Thanksgiving as well. Like it's a popular decoration on things.
I'm never gonna bash candy corn, but they're also never gonna be like.
All right, we're back to the topic at hand here.
It was good. You know what though? I think it's the white chocolate versus milk chocolate. Just give me the regular. Give me
1 to 10. Where's this thing?
Well, it's a Reese's. So are we on a Reese's scale 1 to 10, or are we on a candy scale 1 to 10?
I mean,
because it's still over 5 if we're just on a candy scale 1 to 10 because it's Reese's.
Because it includes peanut butter.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're...
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Like a 7? We'll give it a 7?
Yeah, we'll give it a 7.
You're telling people they don't have to rush out and get it, but maybe try it.
Yeah, give it a try. I mean, like me, if you see a new Reese's product on the stands, you're trying it.
Try it. You're gonna do what you've got to do. You can see right here Kelly's from yesterday. Butterfinger Reese's. You see the... You kind of see the... peanut butter.
That's right, Butterfinger and Reese's.
Yeah, yep, there,
at right the at the top.
I think they make peanut butter Kit Kats now too, don't they?
Yes, I believe
I think
so.
I think they do.
And if they're not, they should be.
Yes, not
and
going
as
to.
As we decided yesterday, the cat is the little wafer part inside.
Yeah, I went and bought far too much candy.
I was gonna say, do you do the same thing I do?
I went and bought far too much candy. Ended up only having like 5 trick or treaters.
I was gonna say you at least have some people show up at your place.
I only had like 5. So when I realized it was going to be a slow night, that 4th and 5th person, welcome.
Oh yeah,
you're welcome. As they're like, they come up and I'm just kind of like, just doing like this, dumping it in there. Kids looking at me like, hey, you're going to fill up my whole thing. I'm like, isn't that the point? Like, I mean, like, what's going on? I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to fill your thing up. You don't have to go anywhere else. Go home.
I had nobody show up this year. Last year, it was 2 kids. The second kid got an entire bag. It was an entire fun size. I'm like, here, please, take it. Like,
Just take it. I don't need this at home anyway. All right, let's get back to the NFL, Broncos and Ravens. I did put a Broncos 9.5 ticket in my account yesterday on the news that Lamar Jackson did not practice for a second day in a row. Now, I fully expect him to have some sort of practice today.
Yeah, that line's already on the move.
I fully expect him to have some sort of practice today, Kelly, and I also expect him to play this week, but that doesn't deter me at all from the position that I wanted to take, which is Lamar Jackson, where he is not allowed to be Lamar Jackson, is not Lamar Jackson, right? And so if we're talking about a back and a knee thing, I mean, that was bad enough to have 2 DMPs in a row, he's going to play. Yeah, he gets the good stuff. I know. I can't. One time in my life, man, I want to get the good stuff that they talk about that the NFL players get.
Like, can I like beat your knee first with a bat first?
Like, I get out of bed and I've got that like creaky thing and I just like, can I get the good stuff this morning? And like, I just come in here and next thing I'm doing backflips off the desk and things. Like, I just want to try one time in my life. But he'll probably play. But how many design runs are we going to get? Is he going to be a little more hesitant to take off than he would be? Because we're talking about some injuries that were, again, bad enough to keep him out of practice for 2 days in a row. Now we're getting up into that like close to double digit territory with a Broncos team that does have a very good defense. And so I think that there is just a lot of dots to be connected here to me getting to taking the Broncos in this. And so, you know, I know you're on the other side with the Ravens, but I am okay with backing a really, really good defense against what looks to be at the very least a compromised Lamar Jackson. And I guess outside chance he doesn't play, but I probably think he does.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what to make of the Lamar Jackson news because we've seen so many confusing injury reports with him before in years past. I'm not completely scared yet. I'm also not telling anybody, yes, I played the Ravens in a teaser on the opener. It's back in teaser range. If I were you and hadn't bet it at home, though, I would not be betting this right now. I would just be, yes, I could say I would wait for Lamar news, but it's Lamar news, and then you're going to have to try to beat the books to the move if it looks like he's going to be a go and a full go. But that's probably how I'd be approaching it at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just there's too much unknown right now with 2 significant, I mean, what, the number 3 quarterback, I'm going to guess, that matters the most to a point spread in the league.
Oh, easily.
Behind Mahomes and Josh Allen, maybe? Like, that's probably it. So, with so much up in the air, I don't really know how you can approach this game right now unless you're in line with Matt thinking it's Broncos getting too many points.
And look, and at the end of the day, this is the number one pass defense in the NFL.
They're a great defense.
Yeah, like this, the number one pass defense in the NFL. So it was going to be a struggle anyway for Lamar through the air. And so now I thought they would be a little bit more ground heavy. And if that can't be the case because of any injury situations, then I'll take the points. It's a lot of points there.
Yeah, just another injury note I just saw come down to follow up from a game from earlier. T. Higgins not at practice again this
day. He ain't going to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, not I mean, that's the full on. He ain't gonna play. Like, you
missed all week. Yeah,
missed all week with an injury that pops up late in the week last week, and all. It's probably, this is probably like dunzo for the season for this.
These ones that happen in practice are tough, right? Because you really don't know. You didn't get to see it with your own eyes. You don't know how bad it might be. And then they get to just play it close to the vest basically throughout the entirety of it.
Jags and the Eagles right off the bat. This was one that I played one of those kind of alternate line parlays we talked about yesterday on the program. If you're just joining us today and didn't listen in, you don't always have to take the full 6 points, in my opinion, with a teaser. So we're really just trying to get through the 7, 6, and 3. And so, you know, if you're sitting 7.5 and you just want to take it down to 2.5, you're only asking for 5 points from the book. And if you do that, you can get a better price than some of the pre-batch teasers that are out there. As Kelly said, he messed around with it. And actually the pre-batch teaser number was better than some of the alt lines that he was looking at. So again, it's always just good. Plug it in and see what it looks like for you. And then, you know, sometimes you can even get like, you know, even money plus money sometimes on these. So just keep that in mind whenever you're going out and making these. But I'd put the Eagles in. I'm an Eagles believer, as everybody knows, super high on them coming into the season. They gave me reason to doubt, but it was a pretty complete performance last week by this team. And if you actually look into the stats, Kelly, they've been an upper 10 team in just about everything out there. The only thing you really wish you'd see more out of them is a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. But we did see that last week from them as well. And then you just got this beat up receiver room. It does look like Brian Thomas is going to be able to play for Jacksonville, but I mean, again, playing injured, how much is he going to be able to do out there? So
that still shocks me though.
Yeah. Like, I know, what's the point? Season's lost. Why would you put your first rounder out there injured? Makes no sense.
But aren't you're what we have questionable for him and Gabe Davis. It sure sounded a lot from what I was reading yesterday that these guys are going to go. And like you said, maybe they are hurt and they're going to be playing through something that does affect their play a little bit. But man, I guess I'm thinking Brian Thomas ain't that bad, because why would you be playing him otherwise? He is too important to the future of your franchise.
Unless you were also coaching for your job, which we know that is 100% the case.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
100% the case. The much maligned pass defense for this Eagles squad from last year has been much, much better this year. I know it's been a little bit under the radar. Much, much better compared to where they were last year. We're talking about 30th in the league in this statistic, 29th in the league in this statistic. They're 14th overall pass defense. EPA, their pass defense success rate's actually top 10 right now. So guys just aren't really, you know, getting on schedule against them in early downs and stuff. And so this is the stuff that you're looking for when you're trying to make, you know, strides. And they go out, they draft a couple of guys. They did very, very well, in my opinion, in what the Eagles have done. And so I think that they win this game. They could win this game handily, but I'll just go ahead and just take it down under the 3, and that's how I played this one.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I involved them in teasers. Eagles would probably be a side, though, for me in circa millions. I think they could win big. I think with this offense looking better and more on track, and I think it does. Like you said, the defensive secondary hasn't been talked about as much, because the offense, I feel like, has been so much of the focus of all of us all season, because I was with you, very high expectations for this team heading into the year, kind of had to readjust what my expectations were after 5, 6 weeks, because they did not look like the same team we thought they were going to be. But then you go look at the past 3 weeks and look what Hurts has done. He's looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And this Jaguars defense, maybe this also flying under the radar a bit, Matt. I don't know if people like realize that they are the worst or one of the worst defenses in the NFL, but they're right there. So I think you're going into Philly. I expect Philly to put up some points in this one.
Yeah, I really liked what I saw from them last week. And so with that, I think that this is the team to back. And I actually think this is the team we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks that might actually be in the mix as far as like teams that we might think could actually win the Super Bowl. Of course, we're talking a ton of NFL here, but if you want to bet on all the stuff that we talked about from the horse races a little bit earlier, the Breeders' Cup this week, you want to head to firstbet.com. Use that promo code VEASAN200. You get a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. That is firstbet.com, 1STBET.com. VEASAN200 is your promo code. And by the way, the Breeders' Cup starts today, so don't wait. Go do it now. VEASAN200 over at firstbet.com.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Last segment here on a Friday, running through these NFL games, Matt in for Gil. Kelly, we've got the Bears on the road at the Cardinals. The Cardinals are currently favored by about a point and a half at most books out there. 44 and a half is our total. A lot of injury stuff here that's kind of affecting this one, which makes it a tough handicap.
Very tough.
Yeah, there's just all kinds of things. The variables, as they say, where I'm just kind of like, man, if I knew a little bit more, maybe I could have a good opinion on all of this. But we got like offensive line stuff going on for the Bears. We got some defensive stuff going on for the Bears. It's just, I don't know, man. These games, like offensive line news, as you guys been watching our content from way back, you know, I mean, we were talking about this, you know, 5-6 years ago here on the network. I just weigh offensive line stuff way higher than I think most people do. And I think we see that last night. Nova, I mean, look at the Texans. I mean, it's, you know, 8 sacks pressured on basically every other drop back and all that. It's just, it's, now you're adding, it's a rookie quarterback situation. I understand I understand Arizona doesn't get a ton of pressure on the quarterback to begin with, but you know, if it is a bunch of, you know, if it's two of the five or three of the five that are going to be new out there for a rookie QB, it's just, I don't know, it's tough for me. So I can't really make a position on this one yet.
I got nothing here either. If you listened to the show yesterday, scariest team to bet on in the second half for me and all year has just been the Arizona Cardinals, because it is, I think you would naturally like to look at them or overs. You think this offense is going to click and the defense is, going to get scored on a fair amount, but this game side total would a pretty easy pass for me.
Detroit Lions on the road at the Packers. So I have kind of planted my flag here on this Lions and then a rebet on the Lions. Now that this thing has gotten under a field goal for the Lions, 48.5 is our total. The news for the Packers is that Jordan Love was back out at practice. If you read the beat writer reports, he didn't do much. I am of the mindset here, Kelly, and I understand Aiden Hutchinson isn't out there for this Lions team, but a Jordan Love that has to sit in the pocket and isn't able to kind of extend plays and use his legs and do the stuff that makes Jordan Love, I mean, I guess my problem is I watched that game last week, and maybe had I not watched that game last week, it wouldn't be burnt into my brain what it looked like when he was trying to play last week and all of the hobbling and all the stuff and to the point where he had to pull himself out. I mean, I get it. Hutchinson in out there. They still blitz at the fifth highest rate in the NFL. Like, they're going to be bringing the heat on the Packers all game long and against Jordan Love and that, I guess, groin it is. Looks like it was a leg, by the way, but you know, groin with him. I just like the Lions, man. I do. And a compromised Jordan Love, I will bet against with the team that I have as the second overall team in the NFL.
Yeah, this would be Lions or pass for me right now. I haven't bet anything yet. I want clearer information on Jordan Love, which means I'm probably not going to end up betting this game, or I'll take the approach just to look in game. Wait till this game kicks off. Who do I have at quarterback? Then I can try to play around with these Lions numbers a bit and get involved. That's the only way I can look at it. I think what you were starting to say about Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, and then kind of just said the same thing about Love. Love, I'm more worried about that with, because I think they are more willing to put Jordan Love in that position where he's going to try. Okay, you might be hampered, might not be able to move around like he's used to, and they're still going to try to force him to be a pocket passer, and I think that could lead to ugly results. Whereas like Lamar Jackson, I actually think that the Ravens are smart enough to know if that's what he has to be, like, it's almost not even worth playing the guy. You might as well give him a week off and let him get back to that full athleticism. So I long way of saying, I think that he could a very good chance Love goes this week, but is really hobbled by his injuries.
Also, just looking at people that are worried about golf and outdoors and things like that, it's gonna be like 52, 53 degrees in Green Bay.
Warmer than Las Vegas.
It's not like one of those deals where we're like freaking out because, you know, he's playing in something that's going to be really, really cold out there. The other thing, just real quick, it's like Detroit should be able to move the chains and keep these chains moving against Green Bay's defense. It's not Green Bay's defense is bad, but they allow you to kind of like cobble together these, you know, longer drives on them. They do that whole bend don't break thing, but the problem is like the Lions, I think, can actually break it. And so again, under three, I'm willing to be wrong. It's a team I've got number two overall in the NFL, and if I'm getting it under three against a compromised quarterback, I think it would be silly of me not to play it.
Yeah, I hear you. And the line movement has been enticing to me all week, because I want to bet it, want to bet 2.5, want to bet, but I've stayed away from it.
I got you. Rams and the Seahawks, you know, again, we keep talking about these games that it's a bummer that it's kind of like unbettable right now, in my opinion, in what we're doing. But I mean, Puka Nacua and DK Metcalf, like two of the most important pieces in this game. We don't know what's going on with either one of these guys. You might know by this afternoon, like we'll get practice reports and things like that. You can see what the official designation is on these guys, Kelly, but it's sitting 1.5 right now in favor of the Rams. We've seen this kind of like go back to pick them, then back to one, then back to pick them. So even the market is kind of confused as to what to do here. I saw what Seattle looked like without DK Metcalf, and I know that McDonald keeps saying that he thinks that he's going to, you know, he's optimistic that he's going to be out there. And I keep reading all the stuff where he's saying like, yeah, you know, he could play even if he didn't, if he doesn't practice, but it's a wide receiver with a leg injury.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, wide receiver with a leg injury. What did we see with Mike Evans 2 weeks ago? Wide receiver with a leg injury who didn't practice, who went and played anyway. And then he played, you know, whatever it was, 12 snaps or whatever it was, 15 snaps. And then he was gone. So I don't know, tough for me to get an opinion.
Yeah, nothing for me here. I think a couple of sharp guys I've listened to on the Rams, but they were on the Rams early. I think that's why you brought up offensive line play early. I think Seattle's the best case example of this in the league this entire year. They have looked good when they can play against teams that don't get much of a pass rush. Rams right about down the middle, but I lean to one of the better pass rush, at least probably a top 12, top 10 pass rush unit in the NFL. So I'm not messing around with that with Seattle.
Colts and the Vikings. This is off of the 6, and a couple of the 5.5s have been bought up as well. 5.5 in favor of the Vikings. 46.5 is the total. The big news here, of course, the Colts have benched Anthony Richardson and they have gone with Joe Flacco. Kelly, I think Flacco does give them the best chance to win. I think Flacco actually gives them the best chance to cover this game as well. If this was Anthony Richardson, I might come in and think that this could be a decent little spot here on the Vikings at home. But with it being Flacco, I think this is probably one on Sunday night. I'm just going to sit back and watch.
Yeah, me too. It was a bet for me with Richardson in, not a bet at current price with Flacco.
Just can't do it. And then on Monday night, Bucks and the Chiefs. This is just the Chiefs, just so obvious a teaser leg here. I mean, the Bucs, no receivers, all kinds of stuff going on with them. Bucky Irving, by the way, not out of practice today. I was just seeing coming through the Twitter machine here. So even your guy that was kind of playing really good, not going to be out there. So this is like the most obvious of obvious teaser legs.
Yeah, I haven't found it at one of my shops to be in that 8.5 range, 8.5 at Circa, 8.5 at DraftKings too, I believe. So if you are if you're in a DraftKings jurisdiction, getting -120 on those teasers, I'm with you. It would absolutely be included in my teasers as well.
All right, let's tee up these G-Bank best bets. This for me, like I said, I scooped up the 9.5 on the Broncos against the Ravens on the news that we might have a compromise. Lamar Jackson, I don't think he's not going to play. I think he will play, but I think, you know, at the very least, we have to assume that he's going to be compromised. I did take the 2 on the Browns as well. I think if we get a good Jameis game, Browns win. If we get a bad Jameis game, the Browns lose. And so I'll go ahead and just assume that we see a little bit of what we got last week out of Jameis Winston. And then I played the Lions, played them a couple different times, a couple different ways, and just kind of went over that game. Everyone knows where I stand there.
Yep. For me, let's see. I do have a teaser to close out, I guess, from last night. Texans side to push. Eagles to get me something on that one. And then I've got Ravens, Bengals teaser, Browns, Eagles teaser. So just 3 teasers in the account for me so far. Moving on to guests we had on the show today. Paul Carr, Nottingham Forest, whose mascot is whom, Matt Brown?
Yes, the Tricky Trees.
The Tricky Trees, +115 versus West Ham. That is tomorrow. Liverpool, Brighton, under 3.5. Bournemouth, double chance or the over plus a half a goal. I thought I was going to do that smoothly. Oh, man. All right. Chris Felica today. At Delmar, race 6, Asterius 9-2. Also today, race 9, East Avenue at 5-2. There we go. And then race 8 tomorrow, Newgate. I wrote down the outright price. Be careful with it, though. Chris said he was going to be mixing in Newgate in that one. And then I believe we have Mike Somich's as well from yesterday. If we want to review those, race 9 today, Jonathan's Way. Race 5 tomorrow, Brad Sell. And race 8, Forever Young, he will be going with it tomorrow in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
These best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VEASAN. G-Bank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VEASAN.com/G-Bank. That is VSIN.com, the letter G-B-A-N-K, subject to credit approval and terms and conditions. do apply coming through right now. Lamar Jackson has walked onto the practice field, they said. So at the very least, he will be limited today because that's limited. That is a limited practice. So, I mean, at the very least, he will be limited today, and we'll get more notes on how this all plays out. It has been fun filling in for Gil. Guys, appreciate you guys having me here on the desk. Stay tuned. Our very own Swiss Army knife, the wonderful and talented Stormy Bombington, coming up next here on Money Moves.